Our reading today is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, starting at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." And then in verse 36, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Today is Pentecost Sunday, as I'm sure you know. And today I'm going to be talking about the three W's: worshipping, waiting, and wanting. Almost 2,000 years ago, for the first time since the resurrection, the disciples of Jesus went out onto the streets of Jerusalem and began boldly telling people the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what does this account of the events of that Pentecost say to us today? Many things, but in preparing for today, I've been looking back at the events between the resurrection of Jesus and the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And three things stand out for me. First one, the reaction of the disciples when they encountered the risen Jesus. They worshipped him. Secondly, the fact that they had to wait before launching out into evangelism and ministry. And thirdly, on the day of Pentecost, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. We begin in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. This is possibly the first occasion on which Jesus appeared to all 11 of the disciples. Matthew 28, verse 16. "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What caught my attention in that passage was verse 17. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Now, I've heard people say, if only I could see Jesus in the flesh, then I would believe. Well, these people saw Jesus in the flesh, both before the crucifixion and now after they'd thought he was dead. And what was their reaction? They worshipped him. They didn't start asking lots of questions. They bowed down and worshipped him. They were overwhelmed because they knew that they were in the presence of God. You see, it's not a question of believing or not believing. It's about encountering God. Has that ever happened to you? I'm sure many of you could say yes, and I'd love to hear your stories, but we haven't got time today, I'm afraid. Perhaps some other time, that would be really good. But when these people saw Jesus raised from the dead, I think they realized that his claims to be God were true. So they worshipped him. When he'd said things like in John 10:30, the Father and I are one. And then in John 14, verse 9, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And other times when he made it very clear that he considered himself to be equal with God. If you see Jesus, you see God. This is really important. It's fundamental. People need to understand this. Jesus is God. If you worship Jesus, you worship God. So they worshipped him. I can just imagine them falling at his feet and bowing down before him. It was a life-changing experience. Have you had that experience? Was it so long ago that somehow it's lost its impact? Well, for these men, nothing would ever be the same again. This experience was the first of many that would completely change the way they lived their lives. That's what happens when you meet God face to face, as it were. It's life-changing. Perhaps we've all had some kind of experience like that. We might call it our conversion or the time when we were born again. But what's happened since? How does it affect the way we're living today? I'll come back to that. But look again at verse 17. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Face to face with God, some doubted. How could they? This is where I needed help to understand. And the phone app I told you about last week, Lectio 365, that's where I found an answer, because it said the Greek word used here for doubt doesn't actually mean unbelief, rather a state of uncertainty and hesitation. Well, no wonder some of them were uncertain and hesitant. Their world was being turned completely upside down. They were probably terrified. What would happen next? Jesus is risen, but he's leaving them. This was an incredible time of change for these people. Is it any wonder that some of them doubted? That's to say, some of them were uncertain and hesitant. I think I live with doubt every day. I have questions and uncertainties and hesitations. It's not that I don't believe. It's that sometimes, like these disciples, I feel a bit hesitant. Do you know what I mean? That's why the church fellowship is so important to me. It's the church family that keeps me going. That and the words of Jesus in verse 20, where he says, surely I am with you always. I think it's wonderful. Jesus answered the disciples' uncertainty with the certainty of a promise. I am with you always. Am I uncertain? Am I holding back in some way? Let's hold on to the promise. God's presence with us always, everywhere, whatever's going on around us. So my prayer is this. I believe. Help my uncertainty, my hesitation. I will praise and worship you because you said that you would always be with me. The prophet Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. We are not alone. Now let's move forward to Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered round him and they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. He was gone. It seemed as if they were on their own. But what was Jesus talking about? What was this baptism with the Holy Spirit? Well, we can now see that it was clearly a reference to what was going to happen at Pentecost. But the disciples didn't know that. They didn't know what Jesus was talking about. How could they? Perhaps they were relieved, however, that for the time being anyway, they didn't have to do anything except wait. This is the second thing I want to emphasize this morning. There is a time to wait. To wait on God. A time to stop. A time to pray. A time to seek God. And I think we should look back on this past year or so in that way, as a time of waiting. And now we should be asking ourselves, what can I learn from lockdown? What has God been doing? What has God been saying to me, to the church? The disciples had to wait. Why? Why did they have to wait? One commentator suggested this: these waiting days were necessary to enable the disciples to realize their need, their nothingness, their failure, and their dependence upon the Master. This is so important. I'm going to say that again. These waiting days were necessary to enable the disciples to realize their need, their nothingness, their failure, and their dependence upon the Master. The commentator said they had to be emptied first before they would get filled. Now, I don't know whether that's right, but it's worth thinking about, especially the idea of being emptied. What fills our lives at the moment? What are our priorities? What gets in the way of us being fully available to God for whatever he calls us to do? You and I can only answer that for ourselves, but we must answer it. The disciples had to get emptied first before they would get filled. Lots of people, myself included, have been clearing out stuff at home during the lockdown. Things are being given to the charity shops or taken to the skip. But I wonder whether we've ever considered what needs to be cleared out from our lives so that we might be ready for what God wants us to do next. What has to go before we can move forward? Can we expect God to do great things through us if we're not prepared to make changes, to make sacrifices even? To make space for him? Going for growth is not just a slogan, it's a challenge to all of us. Am I up for it? Perhaps we still need to do a certain amount of waiting, of praying, of seeking God, of listening for his voice, so we don't go off half-cocked, as they say. I think we're all expecting things to be different, but what does that mean? The disciples actually didn't have to wait very long. It was only about a week, 9 or 10 days at the most. And then, boom, God pours out his Holy Spirit on the disciples and they're filled with power, just like Jesus had told them. And that's what we remember today. Today is Pentecost, the day on which the disciples receive the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's power. Do understand this. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, all the plans that we might have in our heads for the future of the church now, indeed of our individual personal lives, it'll all come to nothing without the power of the Holy Spirit. Which brings me to the final W. We've had worshipping, we've had waiting. The third W is wanting. It might have been better to make it needing, but that doesn't begin with the W. No, we need the power of the Holy Spirit, but do we want it? Are we like the disciples who doubted? Well, that's okay. Perhaps we are uncertain or hesitant. But one of the most frequent things that God says in the Bible is do not be afraid. Needing has to become wanting. Let's put aside our fears. Let's recognize that without the Holy Spirit's power, we can do nothing that counts for anything. And then want God to fill us with his Spirit. Ask him to fill us with his Spirit. As well as dealing with anything that holds us back, anything we know gets in the way of us living the way we know God wants us to live, anything at all, no matter how long it's been in our life, as well as admitting our failures and handing them over to God to deal with, as well as being emptied so that we can be filled, we need to be asking God to fill us with his Spirit on a moment by moment, everyday basis. We need to want to be filled. Jesus said, ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Jesus also said in Luke 11, verse 13, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So there you have it. Three W's: worshipping, waiting, wanting. Every day, we need to worship, we need to wait on God, we need to want to be filled with the Spirit. Amen.